is Susie from In His Shoes Ministries. What you're about to listen to is an episode of The Next Step with Father Vazquez. With these podcasts, Father Vazquez provides a very distinct and consistent voice for Armenian Orthodoxy. It is the means for providing people an intelligent and practical answer to life's difficulties, based on the solid principles of love, faith, and hope as expressed by our Lord Jesus Christ. We produce these shows every week for a vast audience, which includes those who are searching for practical and deeper applications of faith, the disenfranchised members of the church community, and of course the neophyte, those who are discovering truths in ancient orthodoxy. These broadcasts are available every week free of charge, either as a podcast on Apple iTunes or at epostle.net, Apostolic Evangelism for an Electronic World. Whether you're listening on CD, over the internet, or on your MP3 player, we invite you to sit back, turn up the volume, and get ready to take the next step.
Hey, this is Father Vazquez, a priest of the Armenian Church, welcoming you to The Next Step, a podcast about life and love, about spirituality, all viewed through the ancient lens of Armenian Orthodoxy. What we call Armedoxy over here, because it's been tweaked for the day. And we're so glad you're joining us today. The Next Step is part of the expanding vision of the In His Shoes mission and is brought to you by the good folks at epostle.net, Apostolic Evangelism for an expanding and electronic universe. So if you're ready, let's take the next step. Oh, it's so good to have you with us today. How are you doing today? Well, I don't want to, like, talk about it too much, but it is a beautiful Southern California morning right now as we're recording this, and we're in our studios over here, and I got to tell you, it's blue skies and the sun is hitting us. We've had our cold days, but it's just starting to warm up. Now, that's all I'll talk about it, because I know those of you on the East Coast are going through some incredible cold days, and wherever you are in the world, I hope for the next hour you'll just, like, kind of mellow out, kind of, you know, like we tell you to kick back, but this is really a kickback kind of day, isn't it, right? Just put on The Next Step and just, like, listen in. We've got so much to share with you today. Actually, some revelations for me, some really eye-opening revelation. I'm going to start off with that actually today, but of course we've got the usual fare of good stuff coming to you on this Next Step episode. We've got Ani with her bubbles, an incredible bubbles. This is a true life story that if it didn't happen in front of my eyes, I would not even believe it. She's coming up in a few minutes. Of course, we've got our song of the day and all the usual stuff and some great announcements coming up in a few minutes. I'm going to tell you what's coming up. Last week, I had a chance to do a great interview with a very personal, close friend of mine, and we're going to be sharing that in the coming weeks as we're going to be spreading that over a few episodes of The Next Step. So I'm excited about that. Next Step, Apostle, we've been expanding quite a bit. Last week, I told you that we started a TV show on the Diocesan Network. The Western Diocese over here asked me to do a 15-minute little spot, an English message of the day, so to speak, and we're calling it In Step with Christ. Get it? Nice, huh? In His Shoes, In Step, Next Step. Yeah, you got it. We're calling it In Step with Christ. And it is so fun to just be at that studio. I shared some thoughts with you last week about that, but we got to see it this week, and it's coming along okay. I mean, I don't know. There was somebody who had managed to put this big, like, fire behind me. Oh, you know what? We're going to have it up on our website. We're going to have the episode. It'll probably be on our channel on YouTube, so you want to check it out in the next few days. I don't know. We've run across some technical glitches getting it up, but it'll come up in a few days. But you'll see what I'm talking about. Behind me, okay, on the screen behind me, they've got, like, this red and, flame-like activity going on over there. And so it's like, hey, listen to Father Voskin. Otherwise, look what's behind you. You've got the flames of hell, you know, and he's preventing you from this. So anyway, we did speak to the production staff over there. And I think that this coming week, we're going to see a change in that. Although it is cute. It is kind of fun. Actually, the whole media is fun. It's exciting because we're running into people that share the same vision, that have the same idea, that we do need to exploit technology, you know, to push ourselves. If we firmly believe that this is a ministry, if we that is worthy of attention, that people do need to latch on to something greater than themselves. In other words, if we are true to the call of evangelizing, of getting the message of Christ's love, compassion to people, then we need to be able to invest in all of the means possible. And certainly we're doing that here on epostle.net. We've been exploiting technology, not nearly to the extent that we want to, but it is a fantastic start. And then to be able to get some approval, quote unquote, say from the establishment, from the diocese, to say that not only do we improve, but we would like you to join in our broadcast. Hey, that's a step forward. That is a next step, and I'm excited about it. It does signal a new challenge, a new period of time for us. And with your prayers, with your supports, I know we're going to be moving this forward. So anyway, we will have definitely that episode, and it's called In Step with Christ. We will definitely have that up on our website probably in the next couple days. You want to check that out. Let me know what you think about it. Anyway, I told you I have a revelation that I'm going to share with you. A revelation. And actually, I'm going to do it right after the song of the day, because I'm getting cues from Ken over here. He's saying, you always leave that song too late in the podcast. You wanted it a little bit earlier. Okay. I'm playing it by your rules today, Ken, okay? Listen, there's a song by Armin Chakmakian. Haven't played him in a while. This is from his Ceremonies album. It's called Rain, Rain, Go Away. Enjoy. Thank you. Rain, Rain, Go Away. Armin Chakmakian is the artist off of his Ceremonies album. And we'll definitely put a link on our show notes today so you can check out not only this song, but all of his music. Incredible artist, performer. Yeah, I love his music. I love getting into his music. It's just, it's a very moody kind of music. You got to be in the mood to listen to it. I like that piece that you just heard it. And hope you enjoyed it. Listen, I told you that I had a revelatory activity that took place, a revelation that took place. You know what these are. You know, these are those kind of things where you're just sitting around and then all of a sudden you go, uh-huh, that's why things are the way they are. You know, that's a revelation. That's a, you, all of a sudden, a wake-up call. Like, you figure it out. You connect the pieces. And I had one of those events, and I need to share it with you because it pertains exactly to what we're doing over here when we talk about Armenian Orthodoxy, when we talk about Armodoxy. And I wanted a little bit of time to kind of process that, and I think I did. I wrote about it a few days ago on my blog, and let me share with you what happened. It was a few days ago that my son Christopher came home from school, and in the usual way we ask, you know, what do you do, what did you learn, and what didn't you learn, you know, all the usual stuff that parents are known to badger their children with, the questions, you know. So his assignment for that day was the Constitution or the Declaration of Independence. And he needed to learn the Declaration of Independence, certain passage. You know, we hold these truths to be self-evident. He needed to memorize that. And so in the process of listening to him memorize this, it occurred to me, ding, 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 yes, it came to me, what is the missing link in everything that we're doing? And it happens to be the Declaration of Independence. Listen to it. We hold these truths to be self-evident, that all men are created equal, that they are endowed by their Creator with certain unalienable rights, that among these are life, liberty, and the pursuit of happiness. Now, that part we all have heard, we kind of understand it. Listen to what comes next. That to secure these rights, governments are instituted among men, deriving their just powers from the consent of the governed. That whenever any form of government becomes destructive to these ends, it is the right of the people to alter or to abolish it. Let me say that again. Some of you, I know you're going to be picking this up too, but this was revelatory for me, okay? Because hearing him say this and thinking of myself as the priest who all along has been struggling with this issue of having a government that wasn't following the leads of the people, wasn't ministering to the people. Basically, a church that had alienated so many of its children, that what we call the disenfranchised members of the community. And so all of a sudden it clicked in my head, and listen to it again, that whenever any form of government becomes destructive of these ends, it is the right of the people to alter or to abolish it, and to institute a new government, laying its foundation on such principles and organizing its powers in such form as to them shall seem most likely to affect their safety and happiness. Now, this comes from the Declaration of Independence, as we were declaring our independence from the monarchy, from England, from the United Kingdom. And that was it. When I heard this, when I heard Christopher recite this, it just all clicked in my head. I hold these truths to be self-evident. That, you know, we are endowed by our Creator by certain unalienable rights. I hold these truths. Don't you? I think we all do. We share that. Among these are the life, liberty, and the pursuit of happiness. Okay, these are the self-evident basic truths. And so when such a holy government as that which runs the holy institution of our church becomes, listen to the words, destructive to these ends, then it is our right to abolish and to institute a new order. And I think the revelation that came to me was that basically, as an American, I have been brought up knowing that this is my right, knowing that this country has been founded on this revolution, on this idea of cessation. When something doesn't go right, you actually fight against it, you revolve it, you have a revolution. And interestingly enough, today we fall on January 13th, the feast day of St. John the Forerunner. And what was his message? Repent, for the kingdom of God is at hand. Repentance was the revolution. Repent means to turn around, repentance. Completely turn around, do a 180. And so these ideas of change, of radical change, of turning it around and forming something new. When you find that there is a disease and there is a problem there, you form the new government based on the people. And so it's based on the consent of the governed. And so here is the clash. Herein is the clash. All these years, I've been considering the church. I'm talking personal again. All these years I've been considering the church as a sacred institution that stood for the principles of life, liberty, truth, pursuit of happiness. That is, well, how can you put that all in one word? How can you? We're talking about unity with God. Well, of course it's unity with God. I mean, isn't that the goal of all true religion? Is to bring you and unite you with God. And whether you call it God, you call it the universe, you call it by the name of another deity, it's finding a means to be at peace with yourself, with your surroundings, with your universe, so that in that peace you are affecting others, that you are bringing about a peace in this world. I mean, the true goal of all religion is finding that equilibrium that we call peace, finding that balance in our lives so that we are at peace with ourselves and our surroundings, so that there is harmony, so that the world, what we call life, continues in a beautiful manner. And so to me, when I looked at this piece from the Declaration of Independence, I started seeing personally that this is what I considered the church to be doing. Or at least I understood the church should be doing. Because the church as a sacred institution should stand for these principles, right? For the principle of life, definitely. Life is to be revered. It should stand for the principle of liberty. Jesus Christ came and he freed us from the bonds of our sins. From that slavery to sin. He freed us. And so there is a liberty there. The church should be concerned about truth, because Jesus said, I am the truth. And that truth is a truth that goes beyond sectarian boundaries, right? Aren't we talking about what? We're talking about the essence of this universe, the love, the factor of love that puts us all into motion and keeps us bound together. And the church should be, of course, concerned with the pursuit of happiness, that God has given us this life to enjoy, for us to share. I mean, why is it that when an Armenian priest goes into a house, part of our Armenian Orthodox tradition, is the blessing of the house? What does he bless? He blesses the water so that the spirituality of that house can be intact. He blesses bread so that the physical essence should be intact, so that they will always know the goodness that comes from God. And there is a third element that he blesses. He blesses the salt. What for? Because life needs to have flavor. You need to enjoy life. There has to be a happiness in life, the pursuit of happiness. And so all these years I've been considering this church as the sacred institution that should be concerned about the same things: life, liberty, truth, pursuit of happiness. That is unity with God. And so I challenge you to really think about it. Isn't this the prescription of self-determination that is written for each of us? Really, think about it. Well, it turns out that this was my definition. This is the revelation that came to me. Turns out that, yes, this is my definition of the church. This is what I understand as armodoxy, because it is flavored, and some may say tainted. That's up to you, your political persuasion. But I don't think so. I think it's flavored by this American dream, written there in the Declaration of Independence. I think there is a flavor to it. And Armenian Orthodoxy does flourish in this environment. It makes sense in this environment, not as something looking at the past, but as something that gives you the ability to rise from your personal state to a divine state, to be able to reach out with that love that is unconditional. And so I think this is really the uniqueness of what we're trying to spread over here, that it is Armenian Orthodoxy flavored in a manner that makes sense. In other words, a practical manner. And this is why I can't accept the status quo. When you read the rest of the Constitution, that it is, if the form of the government is destructive to these ends, it says, you have the right to alter it and abolish it. Now, this doesn't work in a dictatorship, does it? But it does work in a democracy where the people, or it says in the consent, there's a passage that says, deriving their just powers from the consent of the governed. That's the people. People coming together and saying that we have a consensus, that these things are important. And I want to believe that they are important, that they're intrinsic to the very values and the core of who we are as human beings. And so this is why I cannot agree with maintaining the status quo, because it is destructive. And the only cure is really to overhaul the system. And it's long overdue. But it has to begin from someplace, doesn't it? And it begins with this conversation, with this very simple conversation that you and I are having, by the exchange of ideas, that going outside of the box, by really challenging ourselves to look beyond the usual norms, by not accepting the status quo, but by saying that the status quo is there, it's not going to change if I don't want it to, but I do want it to change. And where do we get the strength for this? Well, think about what today is. Today is the feast of John the Forerunner. Scripture shows us that there was a Baptist who was out in the River Jordan, and you'll find this in the Gospel of Matthew chapter 3, Luke chapter 3, and Mark chapter 1, that there was out in the wilderness this man who was baptizing people. But what was very unique about him was that he was truly a revolutionary. He was bucking the system, and he was not afraid of the system. This was a true man, a true leader. What Martin Luther King Jr. says later on, a genuine leader is not a searcher for consensus, but a molder of consensus. And think about that for a moment. St. John the Baptist standing there in the wilderness telling people that they needed to change. And who is he attacking? He's attacking the establishment who were set in their ways. Now you got to remember, the establishment were people that were not bad people. In fact, morally, you quote unquote, you can say that they were good people, right? They were following the law. They had the laws, the rituals, and they knew their Bible. They knew Holy Scripture backwards, forwards, sideways, whatever way. And he called them brood of vipers, because the things that they read about and understood was not being practiced in their lives. They were practicing the outward forms, but not the message that was there. And St. John the Baptist stood up, despite how difficult it was, and became a leader. He said that you're wrong. You need to not just practice these laws that have been given to you, but you need to understand why they've been given to you. And why they've been given to you is so that there will be harmony among people. There will be understanding among people. And so St. John the Baptist says, repent. And he said it to an audience that wasn't really excited about hearing that message of repentance. In fact, later that you know that they killed him. Okay? They weren't excited. They weren't, believing that it belonged to them, that message. Now, it's easy for us to pick on the Pharisees. We're distanced from them from about 2,000 years. But think about this. St. John the Baptist is really talking to us because that message is fresh today. It's about repentance, about our need to turn from our ways. And our ways are many. I mean, I'm not just talking about being evil or doing sinful things. I'm talking about the things that prevent us from all of those things that I just spoke about, right? Life, liberty, the pursuit of happiness, of truth. What are the things that prevent us from pursuing happiness? What are the things that prevent us from really enjoying life? Well, you'll find that all of the answers are within. It's not from without. When you change that attitude, when you change that ability to look at life and see the goodness that God has showered upon you, you start enjoying the things that God has put in your way, that God has given you so abundantly. And you start saying basically the focus changes and you say, that is what is important in my life. And you can do this personally and you can do this, of course, as a church, as a community. Now today's Bubbles by Ani, she's coming up in just a second, really is about a church community that changed the emphasis. And what happened is all of a sudden, the church community began to enjoy miracles. It's because they were able to change the emphasis and said that life, liberty, and the pursuit of happiness are really our means to unity with God. A little bit up there, but here's Ani with today's Bubbles.
Today's Spiritual Bubble is a blog entry written by my mom and In His Shoes member, Anish Avijik. It's called Dignity, Homelessness, and the Amazing Chain. Dignity. The dictionary defines it like this. Noun. Bearing conduct or speech indicative of self-respect or appreciation of the formality or gravity of an occasion or situation. I witnessed this dignity in a homeless man this past Monday night. I keep thinking about him and about the way things fall right into place, just the way they are supposed to. This past Monday, we visited our homeless friends on the streets of Los Angeles. Our monthly homeless outreach has been going strong for 3 years now. With the decline of the economy, we are seeing even more homeless on the streets. As usual, we were equipped with soup, water, and snacks. We had a full pickup truck of clothing, and by kind donation, we also had emergency Mylar blankets and ponchos. We pulled up to our first stop around 8 p.m., 4th and San Pedro. There's a small encampment there of people living in boxes, if they're lucky enough to have a box, and on the sidewalk itself. It's cold. A man came up to me and asked if I had a pair of shoes for him. He said he had shoes and that if we didn't have any, that was fine, but his shoes were canvas and it had been raining. I set out to the back of the pickup truck to find him some shoes. Digging around, I found a pair of leather high-top shoes. I held them up. Can you use these? He looked. He smiled, and he said, those look great. I hope they fit. I won't take them if they don't, though. Let me try them on. I grabbed him a pair of socks, and he set out to try on the shoes. In the meantime, I asked him if he could use some soup, an emergency blanket, how about a poncho? I'm good, he said. I have everything I need, but thank you. The shoes fit. He was smiling and stomping around in the shoes. Then he did something very few on the streets would do. He handed me his canvas shoes. He said, I'll donate these to you. They're worn, but someone else can make some use of them. Oh, and I'd like to give you a donation. When I thanked him but said it wasn't necessary, he said, "Oh no, I know it's not necessary, but I'd like to. It's important that we help one another, and your group is here helping us." He pulled out $2 from his pocket and handed it to me with thanks. "God bless you guys, and happy Thanksgiving to you. Merry Christmas." Wow, I was touched by his manner. He looked like all he had was the clothing on his back and the new shoes on his feet, but he was happy. He didn't want to take without giving back, yet he was worn. You could tell he'd been on the streets for a long time. The man had dignity. The evening went on. At each of the stops, we fed and clothed. I met a man that couldn't speak, and when we had a little fun, asking and pointing at various items of clothing and tried to ask for certain items, I'd get a thumbs up if I guessed correctly, and a smile. I had a great time with our crew, two of which were first-timers. At each stop, though, I would try to find some feet for the canvas Converse shoes that were donated so generously. But no takers. At our last stop, the lines for food were huge. Hungry people lined up as our crew poured hot water into cup of noodles. At the pickup, we were busy finding clothing for people. We never have enough warm clothing. The need is so great. But we actually did have enough where everyone who approached us got something. When the lines had died down, we announced it was time to pack up. That's when Selin, our newest crew member, asked me in Armenian, "Do you think we have some shoes and socks for this man? He's barefoot." I looked to find a man standing in shorts and a t-shirt waiting for soup. "The shoes!" I ran back to the truck. It was almost empty, but the shoes were there along with a few pairs of mismatched socks. By the time I returned, the man was gone. Luckily, Adam had seen where he went. He was back in his box. The two of us went to the man's home and knocked on the box. He peeked out and we offered him the shoes and socks. And they were perfect. When I think about how it all worked that night, I don't know why I shouldn't expect it to work out that way from the beginning. Through God's grace, all things are possible and probable. The man that donated the shoes at the first stop had a reason for doing so. And the fact that there wasn't a match for them at all their other stops was also meant to be. The barefoot recipient of the shoes was supposed to be in line, barefoot. And Selin, being new to our ministry, was supposed to be right where she was, distributing the soup and taking it all in order to take compassion upon this man and ask that we might have shoes and socks for him. It's an amazing chain this way. Everyone has something they can give, be it a smile, a thank you, a pair of shoes, a compassionate heart, a kind word, or an ear to listen. And what happened to the $2 donation? At our church, we have a prayer box. Each Sunday, prayer requests are read during the Divine Liturgy, and we pray for those mentioned. A donation was made with the $2 for the hungry and homeless of our city. My prayers are with them for sure. This Christmas season, I am thankful for the opportunity to learn some very valuable life lessons from those who have nothing but their dignity. They have so much. This has been your spiritual bubble. May it float on the wind to heaven.
Thank you, Ani, for today's bubbles. We will definitely put a link on our show notes today to the actual blog. You can read it as well, and just a beautiful story. Tells you what's possible, the miracles that are possible when you start changing that focus, when you start changing it as a church, as a community. And I say this because, you know, many times I've shared with you in the past, many times we get this idea that the success of a church is based on the money. In fact, one of the tragedies that I saw as youth minister many years ago, I noticed it and became a reason why I rebelled against it, is whenever you'd get young people together and you'd say, "We want to start an organization." Most famously, it was the ACYO, the Armenian Church Youth Organization. You put them together, and what's the first topic that they will come up with? This is Gary. You could try this out. I mean, if you don't believe me, you try it out. You put them together. The first thing that they talk about is, let's have a fundraiser. For what? And it's really, really shocking, too. You put people together, and their first concern is, let's have a fundraiser. Well, why? I mean, who told you you needed funds? What's the purpose of those funds? Well, we know that we're supposed to have fundraisers. And like I said, I've rebelled against that as I fought against this and really tried to, at least in the limited ministry that I've had, to be able to get young people to start thinking about something more than the church being this place where funds are raised, where the church is the place where money is needed. You know what? If you're doing your job, the money will be there. You'll be able to get the money for that. Don't worry about that. But to raise money for the sake of raising money without understanding the purpose for that, I mean, there's something wrong in that, right? Well, in the same way that when we talk about when you start taking a change in direction, when you start reaching out, when you start saying that there is a purpose for my life. I have been ordained by God as a human being to be created in His image. Means that I have this unalienable right to be able to go out there and seek the truth. Find the peace in my heart to be united with God. Once you start doing that, you find that everything else falls into place. And it's the same way on a personal level as well as on a community level. When the church starts saying that, no, church is not about just making money for the sake of it. It's not about just reaching our budgets. No, we have a purpose. And our purpose is to get the message of God out there. Peace, happiness is attainable through a life with Christ, through a life with love. Once you start doing that as a message, as a church, what happens? All of a sudden your focus changes, and so you find that money, this tool, is channeled in a different manner because people start giving because they believe in the cause. And those other things that you traditionally call the fundraising activities, picnics, bazaars, fashion shows, are done for what? Well, because they're fun. Because it's nice to sit around with a couple friends on a nice little grass on a summer afternoon and have a picnic and exchange ideas with them. In a community where people are thinking about the same goals. The goals of love and helping and having compassion. And so now all of a sudden there is a shift. There is a repentance. There is a turnaround. So we see that the path we're on is leading to destruction. So why stay on that path? Have a revolution. Revolve. And go the other way. Repent, for the kingdom of heaven is at hand. That's what we're doing. That's what's coming out of In His Shoes. It's a group of people that are saying that, okay, here is another way. Here is another way of expressing our faith. We believe that Armenian Orthodoxy is so precious that we can't leave it in the hands of a few people that will relegate it to third, fourth century. No, Armenian Orthodoxy is today. 21st century. It has the ability to compete, to speak, and to lead us in this time. In this time of despair, it has the ability to raise us from our conditions. In this time of war, it has the ability to bring about peace. Well, here's Susie to remind you how you can get involved in all that's going on over here. And I'll be back in a couple minutes to wrap it up.
Hi, this is Susie from In His Shoes Ministries. Before continuing with today's broadcast, I wanted to take this opportunity to remind you that this podcast is made possible through your prayers and generous donations. We are now in the third year of production and growing daily with new listeners around the globe. This new message of Armenian Orthodoxy, or as Father Vazgen calls it, Armadoxy, is giving people an intelligent and practical answer to many of life's difficulties. Epostle.net is the voice of Armadoxy, committed to bring apostolic evangelism to an electronic world. This means we need to avail ourselves to technology's latest tools. Your donations help us expand and deliver this message to a waiting world. Please support us by pressing on the donate button at the inhisshoes.org website. Thanks for listening and God bless. We now return to this week's Next Step with Father Vasquez.
I love how we do that. I don't know how we do it, but it's somehow we get that pianist in here, the big grand piano, and we could just, I guess, we get the harp out when Ani leaves, and then we bring in the piano, and all taking place in this small little studio. And, well, you know, that's the excitement of what we're doing over here, and we're so glad that you're part of it. And you take heed of what Susie says, because it's important that you plug in and you make yourself a part of this ministry. It is a growing ministry, and, you know, a lot of the things that we talk about over here, we're just getting so much feedback. I cannot tell you how much I appreciate it. The feedback that we're getting from you, our listeners, from people just telling us that this is really making a difference in their lives and in their communities. Getting letters from people saying that, hey, you know, we're trying this in our communities, in our church. We've taken a next step in our church. And that is really exciting. That's what it's all about. And I want to thank all of you that have been supporters and welcome all the new listeners and new supporters that are latching on to this ministry and calling it their own. I really appreciate it. I want to finish up with a couple thoughts today along the same lines. You know, this is the Martin Luther King weekend here in America. We celebrate this third weekend in January and remember the slain civil rights leader. And we at In His Shoes Ministries have an annual retreat. I'm very happy to say this is our 8th annual retreat. And this year we're going to be focusing on the principles of King. How do you live a life with principles? I mean, especially in a day and age like today. You know, we just went through this incredible tragedy in Arizona where this man got up and he started shooting at people. And, you know, I was saying a few minutes ago about John the Baptist, about being out there on the fringes. You know, he was. You know, the message that he had, what he was wearing, he would, by all accounts today, be counted as some kind of a crazy man. But there's some essential differences. And I think, you know, this goes back, I think if somebody were to ask you today and said, what is the one thing, what is the one invention of humankind that has really altered history so severely, what would it be? I know I asked Susie this last night. We were discussing today's podcast. She said the wheel, and yes, definitely, the best thing is the wheel, right? We roll on it. What do they say, the best thing since Wonder Bread, since sliced bread or something like that? All great inventions, but you know where I would put it at? The one invention that has really altered human history? I would say gunpowder. I mean, when you think about so many lives, so many people altered because of a single bullet, because of a war, because of a bomb, because of all of this, because we realize that we can launch weapons, because we have the power. I think that that is an incredibly powerful tool, and unfortunately, it has been so misused. And we saw it again in Arizona, when last weekend, this lone killer gets up and he starts shooting. I believe 19 people were shot at. How many were killed? 6 were killed. And I know a congresswoman is still struggling and battling for her life as we broadcast right now. And definitely our prayers go out to her and to all of the families. But unfortunately, there is also a dialogue going on here in America about, well, the severity of speech and perhaps limiting speech. And unfortunately, whenever you get to this dialogue, you start infringing on some things that we take as rights. And what I want to challenge you to think about today is really about the manliness of these people that we talk about. Unfortunately, today, when you open TV, you look on the internet, you appeal to media, the definition of manliness is defined by testosterone. How powerful the guy is. How muscular he is. Physical he is. And really, the people that have challenged us, that have moved us, were not testosterone based men. They were men who were driven by something very fundamental, a quest for truth. Whether you talk about Jesus, the one man who has altered all of human consciousness today as the incarnation of love, never appealing to weapons, in fact saying, put away your weapons. He who lives by the sword will die by the sword. And so advocating this policy of nonviolence. When you look at someone like John the Baptist, crazy, out there in the wilderness, speaking to people. But it was not the testosterone level that made him a man. It was the integrity. It was his commitment to his faith. It was his commitment to the message that he had, and his belief in the principles of that message that he was out there and even sacrificed his life for. When you think about Martin Luther King, who had every reason and ability to incite the masses to riot, to be violent, instead, just the opposite. He appealed to his heart and to love, and told them that there is nothing greater than the power of love. And that love is what will keep them going. These were people who were truly, in all senses of the world, the real men. And I challenge you today, this evening, not to be discouraged because some lone gunman picks up a gun and says that I am powerful and I will bring you down. But look at what life has given us in our lives. These examples of real manhood, of what real men are, people who believe in the integrity of life, of humanity, and believe in the principle of love, being able to conquer all. This weekend, our In His Shoes Ministries is going to be going off to La Sherpa. We're going to be having a great little retreat up there. We're going to be studying the works of Martin Luther King Jr., and I look forward to coming back next week and sharing some of the things that we learned together collectively. Also, I'm really excited to tell you that last week, a good friend of mine, Hiroch Chilingirian, was in town, and we had a chance to sit down and talk, and we recorded that conversation, and we're going to start a series beginning next week for a few weeks. It is Conversations with Hiroch, just about everything, not only the Armenian Church, about what's going on in life in the world. It is he's definitely a fascinating individual. You will not want to miss it. That's going to take place next week, beginning next week. And so we look forward to that. But in the meantime, let me just say it's been a pleasure to be with you today. I hope it's been a pleasure for you to be listening on the other end, wherever you may be. And if you're snow-ridden and you're inside, I wish you all the best. The sun will come up tomorrow. Listen, for all the wonderful people who put this podcast together, for Susie, our producer, for Ken, our engineer, and for Ani with her bubbles, this is Father Boskin leaving you with this little insight from the great late Dr. Martin Luther King Jr., who said, darkness cannot drive out darkness. Only light can do that. Hate cannot drive out hate. Only love.
The information and comments presented within this podcast and our website do not necessarily represent the views of the Armenian Church hierarchy, but are presented as a challenge to define the dynamics of Armenian Orthodoxy in all aspects of life. Listening to these shows is habit-forming. Addictive behavior associated with the next step is rarely, if ever, remedied. Rather, the next step is known to relieve and cure common cases of narrow-mindedness, prejudice, numbskulledness, and glaucoma in patients over the age of 20. Results may vary depending on credit rating. Findings are based on double-blind studies conducted in Istanbul and Jerusalem. Side effects include mind expansion, clarity of focus, higher rates of heart palpitations, sensitivity to the pain of others, and occasional nausea. The management and production crew of epostle.net take full responsibility for changes you will experience, not valid with any other offer.
We trust you've enjoyed this broadcast. This episode of The Next Step, as well as all previous episodes, are available for downloading at epostle.net or at Apple's iTunes Store. To write to us with comments or questions, please direct your message to feedback@epostle.net. Your kind prayers and donations ensure the continuity of these quality broadcasts. For the production crew and all the members of the In His Shoes Ministries, this is Susie, looking forward to taking the next step with you again next week.